The Gemara in the Sanhedrin, Daf Nun Hey, mentions three possible reasons or combinations of reasons for putting to death, for executing a shor that was involved with bestiality with a human being. And those three reasons are, number one, takala, literally obstruction or stumbling block; number two, kalon, which literally means embarrassment or shame; and number three, which is a reason presented by Rava in the Gemara, as opposed to Rav Sheshes and Abaye, number three is Hana, the fact that it derived benefit, that it derived pleasure from this criminal act that it committed. And I want to just discuss for a little bit what exactly is the definition of the first two terms of Takala and of Kalon, and furthermore, what exactly are the consequences, what does this tell us about the nature of the chiyuv misa of an animal. So first of all, it should be noted that Rav Sheshes responded to the shaila. The shaila was whether a goy, which was ba'al ha-behema, whether that behema is chayiv misa or whether that behema is not chayiv misa. And the Gemara seems to assume that by a goy there is this aspect or dimension of takala, but there is no dimension of kalon. However, the Rishonim say that there's really four different possibilities within this shaila, two possibilities which would render the behema innocent, and another two which would render the behema chayav. What are the four possibilities? Possibility number one is that there is kalon for goyim, that goyim are capable of having this embarrassment, and they were also concerned, meaning when a guy is going to be embarrassed by this behemoth walking around in the marketplace, so we would put the behemoth to death. And that both takala and kalon are necessary to put the behemoth to death. So that's possibility number one. Essentially, that you need takala and kalon, but when a guy is baal behemoth, there is takala and kalon, so therefore we can put the behemoth to death. Possibility number two, they say, is that perhaps you only need takala and you don't need kalon. So even though there is no kalon for a guy, because there is takala and takala is all you need, you can also put the behema to death. Those are the two possibilities that would indict the behema. The following two possibilities, however, would acquit the behema. Number one, you need takala as well as kalon. However, by a guy, there's no kalon. The way that some Rishonim accept and other Rishonim reject the formulation is that Goyim are not Baishonim the same way that Bnei Yisrael are. So therefore, something which would be an affront to the dignity of Ben Yisrael would not necessarily be an affront to the dignity of a Goy. That's an Umdana that the Gemara is making, and the Yad Ramah soundly rejects this Umdana. But it's a possibility that objectively there is not as much shame involved when a guy commits the ma'isa as when a Yisrael commits the ma'isa, and therefore because shame or the animal having caused shame to a person is necessary in order to give the animal a chiyuv misa, by a guy where there isn't a sufficient amount of shame, the animal is potter. Option number two is that perhaps the standards of dignity are the same for Bnei Yisrael and for Goyim. However, the Torah is going to be mechayev misa to an animal if that animal is going to be an affront to the dignity of a Jew by walking around, and everyone's going to say, oh, this is the animal that so-and-so is nichshal with. However, the Torah did not care so much about preserving the dignity and saving from shame the reputation of a guy. And therefore there is no chashash, there's no reason to be mechayev the animal because of kalon, because there's no Jewish reputation at stake. So those are the four possibilities. Number one, we're only concerned about takala, not about kalon, so of course we put the animal to death even by a guy. Number two, we're concerned about takala and kalon, but they both exist by a guy. Number three, we're concerned about takala and kalon, but there is no kalon objectively by a guy. And number four, that we're concerned about takala and kalon, but that we're only concerned for kalon the Yisrael and not for kalon of a guy. Now, lichaora, what emerges from here is that the takala exists no matter what. There's always takala, whether the animal was involved with a Ben Yisrael, whether the animal was involved with a goy, there's always takala, and objectively, the Torah cares as much for takala of a Jew as it cares for takala of a guy. As opposed to kalon, where number one, there could be sveikos about whether kalon exists by a guy, and number two, there could be sveikos about whether the Torah cares about kalon of a guy. So what exactly is the difference between takala, which for sure exists by goyim, and the Torah cares about the fact that it exists, and kalon, which does not for sure exist by goyim, and the Torah does not necessarily care about whether it exists? So one might explain as follows. One might explain that takala always exists because takala means participation in a ma'isa aveira. So that always exists. Whenever the animal is involved in this criminal act of bestiality, so it participated in the ma'isa aveira, that's takala. So therefore it's chayiv. So that would help us explain why there's no safik that takala exists when the animal was involved with a guy, the same way that there's no safik when the animal was involved with a yid. Because in both cases, right, for sure the animal was involved in a ma'isa avira. But what about the idea that the Torah only cares about the kalon when a Jew is involved? So why not say the same thing, that the Torah is only going to be mechayiv this animal misa when it's a takala of a Jew, but when it's a takala of a guy, so the Torah is not going to be mechayiv the animal misa. What's the difference between takala and kalon? Takala, the Torah for sure cares about takala by a guy, but kalon, the Torah doesn't care about takala by a guy. Sorry, by kalon, maybe the Torah doesn't care about the kalon of a guy. So to that, I think the answer is as follows: that in general, when an animal commits an act which causes it to get the death penalty, whether it's an animal which murders or an animal which is involved in bestiality, there are three possible reasons why that animal could be chayiv misa. The first two are enumerated by the Ramban in his Peirush al Torah, and the third, I believe, is alluded to by Rav Elia Bloch in the Shiurei Das. So first of all, the Ramban says it could be that animals, they don't have any responsibility, they don't have any free choice. They don't even have what's called a ma'isa avera. What they do, it's as if they're a rack. A rack can't commit a ma'isa avera. Other people can commit a ma'isa avera with a rack. So the same thing, an animal can't commit the ma'isa avera. A person can commit the ma'isa avera using the animal as a prop. So why is the animal killed? Because there are certain things for the sake of human dignity that have to be eradicated. That's basically pure kalon. The animal is eradicated not because of anything that it did. The animal is or that it chose. The animal is eradicated because it's an affront to human dignity to keep it alive. That's pure kalon. However, when we talk about takala, it may be that there's a step beyond that. It may be, number one, that the animal can commit a ma'isa avera. So the Ramban says, when an animal murders, maybe we put it to death because it's an affront to the dignity of its victim for this animal to still be alive. But maybe we put the animal to death because its body, the goof of the animal, committed a ma'isa avera. Just like a human who murdered, right? It did an act. It's not as if he was a tool for murder. He did an act of murder. So too, an animal that murders committed an act of murder. And the Torah says that acts of murder must be punished. The animal did a ma'isa avera. The Einish comes because of the Ma'isa Avira. So that would explain a little bit better. Takala exists universally, both for a Jew or for a guy, because it's not a subjective matter about the dignity of this one versus the dignity of that one. It's not even a matter of whether the Torah cares about this one's dignity or that one's dignity. In this case, the reason the animal will be chayiv for takala is not because of anyone's dignity. It's because the animal was involved in a Ma'isa Avira. And if it's involved in a ma'isa avera, then it's put to death for the ma'isa, not because of the other participant, because of itself. The third possibility, which I don't want to discuss so much right now, it's much more a philosophical issue than a halachic issue, and that's a question about whether animals have free will, whether they have the capability of choosing between two options. One could say that the animal is not only chayev for the ma'isa avera, it's even chayev for its choice to commit the avera rather than for, let's say, you know, and for not running away on the other hand. And that's a discussion that really centers around other sugyos, the question about the frogs in Mitzrayim who were rewarded for jumping into the ovens. So the Shiuri Das says, Why were they rewarded? Because they had a choice. They could either jump into the ovens or they could not jump into the ovens. They chose to jump into the ovens. That was a ma'aseh mitzvah for them. So therefore, they were rewarded. So, and there's a whole discussion about the frogs mitzvahim and among many other things. And it may indicate that according to some achronim or maybe some rishonim, the animals could possibly have some form of bechira. But leaving that aside, basically you have the option about whether the animal is punished because of its an affront to human dignity, or whether the animal is punished because of the ma'aseh that it itself committed. There's one other chakira that I want to explore. Essentially, the Gemara says that when a katan or a ketana is involved with bestiality with an animal, so even though the katan and the ketana are not put to death, the animal is still put to death. So the Gemara seems to make it clear that the death penalty of the animal is not predicated on the death of the human participant in this action. It's purely independent. The animal can be put to death even though the human is not put to death. However, there are some Rishonim that are quoted in the Chiddushi Haran who explain that no, takala means it's only possible for there to be takala when the human is put to death. It's not that the animal participated in a capital crime, not that the animal participated in a capital crime, but rather that the animal and that the other participant in this crime is receiving capital punishment. Therefore, the animal must receive capital punishment. So what that suggests is perhaps a fourth possibility about why the animal is put to death. That the fact that these Rishonim, seemingly against the Gemara, are linking the idea of the animal's death dafka to the fact that the human is put to death suggests that maybe the reason of the idea of takala is that it's sort of the animal is mitstarif to the person. It's the two participants in the action that are being put to death as one. And that's how the Torah tells us to view an animal's participation and the animal's punishment. So it's not going to be so much a matter of human dignity that we could say, oh, we're more concerned for this dignity, we're less concerned for that dignity. The Torah says when an animal participates in such an action, so it automatically falls under the umbrella of the psak din that we give to the human participant. And that's why so these Rishonim might say that there's no difference between a Yisrael and a Goy. The Torah says that if the human participant is chayiv misa, the animal is chayiv misa, because the animal and the human are somehow mitstarif because of their joint participation in this ma'isa avera. And that's what takala means. So we're punishing the animal not so much because of its own ma'isa or because of its own bechira, but rather because the animal, by virtue of the act it committed, was mitstarif to the human, and therefore it falls under the umbrella of the punishment of the human who's being punished for this act. So that basically takes care of takala and kalon. It presents four basic options, or five basic options, about what's pshat that about takala and kalon. A quick mention about hana, which Rava adds into the discussion. In general, we say misasik bechalavim ba'arayos is chayov, which means that a person who's preoccupied with something else and happens to commit an act of erva, of gilui arayos, is going to be chayiv nonetheless, even though he had no intention whatsoever to commit the act. And we say shekein ne'ne, because he received hana. So there's a big discussion in Achronim whether the mechayiv for ma'aseh arayos is the action, the ma'aseh avera, or whether the mechayiv is the hana ha'avera. Meaning a person who's misasik, who's preoccupied with something else, many people say he's also not considered to be active in the Avera. He's considered to be a tool or a prop in the Ma'isa Avera. But even so, a prop which has Hana is Chayiv. So this gives again, it's a third interpretation in the Gemara. And the idea would be that the Yisod HaChiyuv is not to uphold human dignity, nor is it to punish the animal for its Ma'isa or for its choice, nor is it even to be mitzarif the animal to the human. The Yisod HaChiyuv, according to Rava, perhaps, is dependent, or at least codependent, on the fact that the animal got hana. And any time that there's hana from such a ma'isa avera, you don't even need an action, you don't need an affront to dignity, you don't need a choice. All that you need is the hana, and the hana is the reason for the Chiyuv Misa.